the opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Okay. Hi. This is Debbie from Shadow Chasers and Hallowed Ground Paranormal.
And this is Sarah with Shadow Chasers Paranormal and Hallowed Grounds as well. Good evening, everybody.
Hi, everybody. We want to thank everybody to the show. We've been down for a couple of weeks. Some things have happened here and there, but I think we're back on board again. I think we're doing pretty good here. How's everything been, Sarah?
Everything's been going pretty good, and hallelujah, we're done with Christmas. I'm happy because we are done.
Holy crap on a cracker, boy. I tell you.
You got that right. Holy crap on a cracker.
I am so giddy when the holidays are done and over.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy tonight because I have been craving some oysters, and I found a little restaurant here in town that had oysters on a half shell tonight, so I just went and ate me some raw oysters for supper.
Ew.
Oh, hush. They are amazing. They're good. And these had such a good taste to them. Really good. Good stuff.
No, can't do that. No, I cannot. No,
whatever.
No, it's true. I mean, just to look at it is like, no.
If you ever tried one, well, I don't know if you could because you're allergic to seafood, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't try them. But I was going to say, if you ever tried one, you might like it.
Yeah. No. I my ground. No, I don't think.
I know you. I know. Well, we sure hope that everybody had a good Christmas and a happy new year. Welcome to 2023, guys. And we've got, Deb's got a lineup with our producer with Web Radio, and they've got a good lineup of individuals coming in to be with us. And I'm really looking forward to everything.
It's looking really good. I mean, let's go ahead and tell y'all about what's going on here. We have Mr. Jeremy Leonard that will be coming on here in a couple of weeks on January the 17th.
Yep. From Ghost of Morgan City and 28 Days Haunted. And also, it's my understanding that he's just started his radio podcast show with Web Paranormal, or Web Radio, I'm sorry. Web Radio as well, and it's called Paranormal Gumbo, I think, which is kind of cute. It's very interesting because he's Cajun, living in Louisiana.
Yeah, he's living it up out there.
Yeah, he is.
And it's really good. Have you listened yet?
No, maybe I've been so busy through the holidays, I hadn't had a chance to peek at nothing, but I want to give it a listen to.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Of course, because it's Jeremy Leonard. He's an interesting individual, to say the least. Nice, nice guy, and just an all-around good person.
Yeah, the two of them really are very good together on the radio. They put a nice show on, and they're very interesting.
That's great.
So I thoroughly enjoyed listening to them. I truly did.
That's good news.
Yeah. And after Jeremy, well, our next guest that we'll be having is Latriana Brown. And thrilled to have her. I mean, she is amazing in her own right. She's a published author of 2 books. And her new show is coming out on the History Channel.
Cool.
And the name is Repossessed. I'm really looking for
That's cute. Repossessed. I like that.
I thought it was really clever.
I do too. That is a clever title. I like that.
It is.
Repossessed. Okay.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun show to watch too. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, starting to watch that. So there are two wonderful guests that we'll be having on our show. Now we're also going to have one of our team members, Nina, coming on. And this is going to be an interesting show because Nina is an animal communicator.
And yes, definitely. Nina is another amazing individual. She's a part of our team, actually, and she's been sick for a little while, so we've given her a little bit of a reprieve, and she's coming back in and doing things with the team and stuff now, and I think the audience will be amazed at some of the things that she'll be able to tell them.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is.
She is absolutely amazing, and we had to give her a reprieve after she got ill. I think she was a lot so well that we gave her more time for because, you know, putting off, it takes a lot.
Oh, it does, especially as sick as Nina was, you know, but she's recouped and, you know, repairing herself and her body, and she's about ready to jump back out there again.
Oh, yeah, She's got a lot of things going on for her now, and I am just absolutely thrilled on the progress that she has made with her health. It's just
You need to go ahead and talk a little bit about the Deep South Para Comic Con on August the 19th and the 20th. Jeremy Leonard will be there. Latriana Brown will be there. Web Paranormal and Web Radio will be there. We will be there. A lot of really cool individuals that you will not want to miss meeting and getting to talk to. So tell them just a little bit about that, Deb, and where it's at.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it in Ozark? It's coming up in Ozark.
I am not sure because this is my first experience with it.
Yeah, I believe that it's in Ozark.
I thought you knew.
I'm wrong on that.
Sorry.
But so it's going to be in August. I don't have the exact date in front of me right now.
August 19th and 20th.
There you go. August 19th and 20th. And
I'm really looking forward to it. I expect to get down there and just talk with cool people and meet up with everybody, meet up with our old friends, Stan and Teresa Fikes, who has the Web Paranormal and Web Radio. If you're not following them on Facebook, you need to, as well as Jeremy Leonard. Follow him and follow Latriana Brown and follow us if you're not following us yet.
And there's the Foxes.
Yes, the Foxes. I forgot about them. I'm so sorry. But yes, the Foxes.
They're going to be there as well. And I just, a wonderful array of people are going to be there. Yes.
And they're adding new guests weekly.
Yeah, he said that all the speaker positions were already filled. Yeah, that's impressive.
Jonathan Odom from Alabama Paranormal and Bigfoot. Oh, wow. See, I'm a big enthusiast of Bigfoot, and I can't wait to meet him and talk to him.
Yeah, they're, they're pretty interesting.
There's just going to be a vast array of some really amazing individuals that you guys need to come out, make plans, and come out and just be with us for that whole weekend and just have a good time. That's what it's all about, getting to learn new things and just having a good time with the people that'll be there. And there's going to be Blaine Rohan, Rohan, which is a psychic medium that will be there. I mean, the list is endless. It is endless. And I guarantee you, if you come, you make the trip and you plan to be with us, you're not going to go away disappointed.
No. And what I like about things like that is being able to, you know, connect up with other groups and other people doing what we do.
Exactly.
Learn so much from other people, their experiences.
Well, listen to this. Sonia Thompson from The Walking Dead's going to be there, girl.
Can't beat that.
No. Well, yeah, you can. You can have my favorites on there. That's the dude that played Negan and the other one that says that everybody that meets my husband and looks at him says that he looks like Daryl. What's his name? His name escapes me at the moment. But yeah, it could be a little bit better. And you can have those two guys there.
Yeah, that would make you very, very happy.
Oh, yes, it would. Definitely.
I know.
And but there's going to be Ronnie D. from Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. That's going to be with us. The list just keeps growing, like we've been told, week to week to week. Yes, Norman Reedus. Thank you. Any chance of hooking him up to come and be with us? Stan's replying back and forth to me over here. Dude, if you could pull that off, I'd dance at your next wedding. Definitely. And these old legs, these old bones don't dance too much anymore with everything that I got going on, but I think I might could make a jig for him, you know, like an Irish jig or something for about 2 seconds.
Yeah,
but it's just going to be a heck of a good time. And each vendor probably has things that they make themselves that they'll have there for the fans to pick up and get from them. So they'll have a little memento from, you know, that person and everything. So it's just, you know, going to be a fantastic time. That's my highlight for the year so far. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm just excited about meeting people, period, who, you know, are involved in the people that are out there that are watching and listening to these shows. Those are the people that you really want to connect up with. And I am excited about that.
Oh, saying, me too.
That to me is just a total thrill to see the people out and be able to talk to them and get their experiences.
To talk to the littles, you know, as I call them, the children that are excited about, you know, ghost adventures and being maybe possibly in the future becoming paranormal investigators themselves. They always ask the coolest questions and their little faces just light up whenever you start talking to them about different things. And I love talking to the children too.
You find out that you don't ever get as stumped as you do when a child asks you a question.
Oh, yeah. Because their little minds are so inquisitive.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they come up with some stuff now. And it just makes you you come up with that. You know, they expect an answer.
Now, if one of them asks me something, I'm going to say, well, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to send you right here to Miss Debbie. Let you handle it.
That's all right. I got you, girl. I'm going to remember that strategy.
Uh-oh. I think I just dug my grave and I might be ready to get in it that weekend.
And I can't wait for it to happen.
Oh, I know you can't. You try to stump me up. Well, tonight we've got a great subject entitled to talk about. We went over things and, you know, we said that we were going to be talking about cryptids and different things, you know, every other week. And we did miss a couple of weeks for family emergency and some computer problem issues, you know, and, but you can't help all that. And thank God the family part of it, she's doing well. It's Teresa. And she had a little bit of a heart issue there, but thank the good Lord, she is safe and she's fine and she's doing good. So we're going to get on the subject tonight of, Debbie researched it and is going to be the subject title of Wendigos. And Debbie, you can explain what a Wendigo is.
Talk about spooky things.
Right.
Is right up there. I mean, you know, when I first started researching it, I'm going to be really honest with you. When I really first started researching it, I thought, you know, there could be a lot of hooey involved in this. Being Native American, we were raised with the knowledge of Wendigo and the legends, of course, that go with that.
Right. But
I don't know. There was always something that just kind of like, make you go, about it. The more research I did on Wendigos, the more scary they got. These things are bad. What I didn't know is that they're associated a lot with ice. Did you know that? That they're
with what?
Ice. Winter time.
Ice?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've never heard of the tales of them being associated with ice, because being down here in the South and being raised up with all the Native American beliefs and superstitions and stuff like that, ice was not ever the issue. Let me see how I can describe it. It would be pride, being, you know, so just, you know, look at me, I'm great, and all this other kind of stuff, and like that within, you know, let's say a medicine man. Okay, medicine man, I know of one tale many years ago that I heard that a medicine man got just too full of himself and something happened to him and he died, and he became a Wendigo.
Right.
So that's the things that I've heard.
Right. Well, the legend is that a dark shaman.
So there you go.
One who practiced the dark arts. He was banished from his village because he practiced dark medicine. And in any Native American nation. Is taboo.
You do
not practice dark medicine in any Native American nation at all. So what they did is that they banished him. They banished him out of the village. They said, "That's it. You're done. You need to go." And what happened is that he ended up going into the forest to live, and he found a cave.
Mm-hmm. And
he lived in the cave, but he found that. Couldn't find enough food. He couldn't keep himself going. So he acted cannibalism. And as the way the legend goes is that the more that he stayed in the cave, that the light started to hurt his eyes.
Yeah.
And more reclusive and more inner turmoil, and the cannibalism really grew, and it basically turned him into this creature that actually multiplied and has now grown to be legend. And it said that because of his dark magic, it helped him to age a lot slower, and it gave him this almost sense of an immortality kind of a thing. However,
they can
be killed either through spiritualistic ways or through actual physical killing it. Of course, they say that the legend says the way to kill it is that you have to pierce it through its heart, because that is the place where the human part of it remains. And start out human, but they turn into this.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I've always heard that they did start out human and then changed into what people have called it as a Wendigo. And it's spelt different ways. It's spelt Wendigo or Windigo. Then I even saw one spelling with an A in there. So, but it all spells out to the same thing, Wendigo. You know, it's what it is.
It does. Actually, in one of the nations,
was it the Algonquin?
The Algonquin and the Ojibwa, yeah. which are up in Canada. It's mostly around like the Great Lakes area of Michigan, up and around in there in Canada. That's where, like, I would say most of the sightings have occurred. And I thought, well, you know, I really haven't heard about all that many. No, that's because we live down here in the South.
Right. That
was me saying, well, I've never seen, a Yeti. I've never seen a Yeti. Yeah. When's the last time I've been to Tibet? You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure my odds would be better if I was up around Tibet somewhere, but I'm not. So, but a lot of these legends also connect the skinwalkers with the Wendigo, and surprisingly enough, the Sasquatch with the Wendigo. It's like they're all lumped in. However, each one of these are different entities all onto their own. But they have similar characteristics, which is why sometimes I think that they're confused with each other, because a lot of them do share a lot of the same characteristics.
Right.
Now, they are said to have eyes like an owl. And actually, in one of the cultures, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's either Algonquin or Ojibwa, the word Wendigo and owl mean the same thing. Yeah. So, you know, to them, a Wendigo is an owl, as well as it's a Wendigo. And I thought that was really, really interesting as well. So let's go ahead and see, you know, what I've got down here. It says it's a monster as per the mythologies of the Algonquin people.
Yeah.
It's depending on the appearance. It varies from region to region. And it says that if you eat the human flesh, you will turn into one of these things. But you really don't want to do that. King of the dark arts is really what the kicker is here. If somebody practices dark arts and they partake in cannibalism, that leads right into being a Wendigo.
Well, where's the line at? That just makes me want to get right in the first position to be. I'm playing there, you know. I would turn and run from that just as fast as my feet could carry me. No,
A lot of people don't, you know, a lot of people think, oh, the dark arts. Oh, well, I would never practice in the dark arts. You would be surprised how easy it would be to consider practice the dark arts. If you wish harm upon another person, or you do harm to another person, that is considered a dark art. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but when you wish something bad with intent to another person, that is considered practicing a dark art.
Well, I've always heard, you know, even as a child growing up, my grandparents used to tell me, my grandmother, actually my mom's mother, would tell me all the time whenever I would get mad and I'd say something and she'd tell me, She'd say, nope, you don't put anything out into the wind that you don't want the spirits to pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will pick up on it and they will make it so.
They will make it so.
Oh, yeah. So I was told that down through the generations of, you know, my family coming up, you know, we didn't practice Native American ways. Of course, whenever I got older, I did. I studied herbs and all that kind of stuff and the plants and all of that and filtered over into my children's life whenever they would get cut or burnt or hurt. There were certain things that I could go to that I kept in my medicine cabinet that I knew would, I could make a poultice out of and it would heal it, you know? So I did get that far, but never into the dark arts.
Yeah, no, I would never want to walk down that road either. But
no, because once you go down the dark road, you know, some people are able to come back from it and recoup their lives and get back to a normal life. But then there's some that they go so far with it till they're not able to bounce back from it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a scary, scary subject and a scary thing to get into.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And it's just that it takes you down all these different roads. It's not just going into one area of it. In order to really practice it, you'll find that, you know, people start in one area and then without, I don't think, even realizing it, they start branching out and they go to all these different areas. And it's like this, just, you can't stop. And once it just it starts, it gets on this roll. And people can really, I mean, they get lost. They can really get lost. And they stop becoming the person who you knew.
Yeah.
And it's scary to watch somebody actually go through it. It's like, you know, it scares you when the younger people start dabbling in it. It's like, you have no idea the road that you're getting ready to take. Very shortly, you're going to be regretting. And it might not be so easy to get out of. Be careful before you start things like that.
Right.
So going on here, it says that legends to say, just to even come across a Wendigo, just to even come across it, you can be possessed by the spirit of this Wendigo. And it
could, I can imagine, Lord.
Because there's such a hatred inside of these things. The only thing that they want to do is eat human. They're consumed by eating human flesh. That's what they're consumed by. The general description of it is that they're very large, they're very skinny. And it's that some religions say that it almost looks like ice. It has it doesn't really have any lips to speak of or toes. I found that interesting.
No toes?
No toes. The most recent description is that a humpback with the head of a deer with antlers, or it might even be a deer skull for a head. Some say that it takes a deer skull and puts it on top of its own head, and others say, no, it actually has a deer head. But in a situation that the skin is literally decaying and rotting off of it.
Ugh.
It's an absolutely hideous, hideous thing to look at. It grows very large. And then the more it eats, it's got this insatiable appetite for human flesh. But the anger in it also stirs up from the fact that it's insatiable. It cannot get enough. And it keeps wanting to eat. It can eat an entire body and be starving, which is what it has that skinny form from, because it never gets full. It is so just consumed with it that it never gets enough. It never. And I mean, this thing is like so nasty. Let me see. You do not kill it. You must kill it by fire. You can kill it by fire, but it's not something like a little flame. No, you've got to completely consume it in fire. And then when you do that, you have to scatter the ashes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you have to scatter it far. You can't just put it in like a little, let it just burn in a heap and be done. No. I mean, they really go into like when you're going to kill this thing. You really have to rip. And, you know, Europeans actually also have, this is interesting, they have legends of a Wendigo as well. Same description.
Huh.
Yeah. And go to figure, how can a Native American culture and the European culture be describing the same creature? I found that to be fascinating. There's really no connection between the Europeans and the Native Americans back years and years and years ago, but yet they have the same creature described in their legends. So that really had me thinking, wow, you know.
And, you know, if we had the time and could actually do it, it'd be cool to sit down and go from each Native American tribe and see just exactly what the Wendigo is to each Native American tribe. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I've heard of, and I can't for the life of me remember which tribe it was, but their Wendigo sort of, it looks like a spirit, like a ghost, but it's much more prominent than a ghost would be. It's more like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Solid. And you know how ghosts are kind of like wispy and sometimes you can see straight through them. Their Wendigo is, for this tribe that I can't remember, was more solid, and it had a huge white face that almost looked like an African mask that was carved with this really strange billowy white hair. And like a white, almost like a white sheet. For the lack of me being able to find a better description, all I can say is like a white sheet. But, you know,
yeah.
I imagine they vary. I'm sorry, that's my other computer. I imagine they vary with looks from tribe to tribe, you know, and that would be cool to research all that.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of them are saying about the same thing about the Wendigo. The descriptions on them are scarily similar.
Huh.
Yeah, scarily similar. It's strange because he almost seems to have the body of what a Slender Man, and they've been confused with Slender Man before because they're so tall, they're so very, they can grow up to, that's another thing. They continue to grow as much as they eat. So the more they eat, the taller they get. And
oh my God,
15 foot tall, but the average usually runs about 10 foot. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, 10 foot is too much for me and 15 is definitely too much. So yeah, I wouldn't be standing around if I could get away from it just as quick as I saw it, I would.
Whoa. I think I would just die. I would run in place and just die right there. I mean, it's horrifying, you know, when you, in your mind, when you picture something like that, it's like, this is something nightmares are definitely made of. Is
right. And, well, if you and I are together and we ever see one and we go to turn and run, I'm tripping you and I'm out of there.
Oh,
I'm just tripping you, girlfriend. Get her. You know I wouldn't do that. I'd be standing there fighting that thing, screaming at you, telling you to get your butt up off the floor or the ground and help me.
Absolutely. It's also interesting because some of the Native American tribes refuse to even say the word Wendigo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're scared of it. Yep. I've heard that. Yep.
Yeah. And what their fear is, if you even say the name,
yep,
all you have to do is say the name and it will appear to you.
Yep. And I've heard some tales, too, that mothers will not speak it, especially because they are fearful if they do speak the name of the Wendigo that it can come and steal their children and take their children in the middle of the night.
Exactly. And eat the babies.
Yes. And eat the babies.
Yeah. They don't want nice things. They want to kill it and eat it. I mean, this is also something that I found scary. They mimic your very voice. They can do
mimic. I've heard that too.
Yeah, it's one of the ways that they can trick people into, you know, getting them where they need them to be is by mimicking the voice of somebody to entice somebody to come towards them.
Well, you know that demons and stuff do that already.
They do.
You know, they can mimic your voice or present themselves as children. So does that mean that, well, yeah, I guess it would. I was going to say, would that mean that the Wendigo is demonic?
It's a type of a demon. Because when you think about it, it is considered a spiritual form in a solid body.
Uh-huh.
Right? Started.
Right.
The only thing is that it started human, where demons were never human to begin with. But these things started out as human, but they are driven by an insatiable need to kill and to destroy and to eat. And it just keeps going. And it's the human part of it, the spiritual part of it, that keeps it going. So it does have a spirit, but it's actually in a creature type of a form. So it is both. And one of our shows, I don't remember which one that it was, but we were talking about how unusual it is to have something that is actually in spirit form as well as in solid form. It's like got both.
Yeah. I can't remember which one either, but I do remember us touching on the subject.
Well, this is like at the top of the list here. And this thing is just, and it's extremely strong, very fast. And they said that it is so fast. It is one of those things that can move without a sound.
Mm-hmm.
From point A to point B in the blink of an eye without making a sound at all.
Yep, I've heard that too.
Very fast. I mean, this is almost like, I mean, when you talk about an apex predator, this would be it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those cryptoids that are at the top of the food chain, you know what I mean? And top of the chain as far as being just horrific if you were ever to come across one.
Mm-hmm. Now, some beliefs state that they can fly. Now, not all of them, very few, but there are some beliefs that they can fly. I honestly kind of think where that comes in at is what we were just talking about, how quick they are, how they can move from one spot to another so quick that people might be mistaking that they're flying to do it. But I don't think that they are, to tell you the truth. I mean, I've never really, of everything that I've researched into it, there's no locomotion possible for them to, quote, fly. But they do move through the trees. And that's what the legends also state, is that they move through the trees in the forests. And they're very well disguised by moving through the trees. They move very quickly from between the trees or through the tops of the whatever. The trees are their main source of travel on moving through the forest. They don't like they will run on the ground, but they're basically, they're hiding and they're moving through the trees themselves.
Yeah. And I've also heard that if you were ever to hear one, that their shriek and their shrill, when they're screaming, it's just ear piercing, and it would just freeze you dead in your tracks.
Yes. Yes. Now, this is what I found to be really, really interesting, is that one of the elders, it was an actual elder of a tribe, sat down and tried to take the legend of the Wendigo and to piece it out in trying to explain it in more, if there was a way of looking that would make it more, I don't know, maybe understandable for people. But it says
to explain it more. Yeah.
Thank you. To explain it a little better, to kind of like rationalize it a little bit better.
But right.
He said basically the way that it could be perceived as is that these are animals that they connect up to with the winter, ice, stuff like that. It said that when men become so greedy, remember we're talking about the insatiable appetite.
Yep.
Up by it, literally. A man's greed will eat him up alive. And especially during the winter time, when food is at its lowest point to obtain, that's when the hatefulness of this creature, or of this quote sociopath, comes out the worst. I found that to be really, really, really interesting. I really did. And I believe it was from the Algonquin tribe that this individual had come from. And it dictated it to be like a human sociopath, metaphorically human, not so much as being supernatural.
Which I found I've never heard that now. That's interesting.
See, when you look at it into a different, you know, a different way of looking at it, but it's like, I mean, this is what can create something as hideous and horrible as what we are talking about with a Wendigo could be, is a sociopath that is just totally eaten up alive. And this is what they literally turn into. I thought that was really very interesting.
Very strange.
Isn't it though? I know. It says it can be killed by gunshot or chopped into pieces. These are all lovely things. chopping. But it's not easy to do. It can be killed in a spiritual and or a shamanistic manner as well. I did find that the European influence says, of course, that you need to put a silver blade into the heart, smashing the heart, and then placing it in a silver box, and then you bury the box in a churchyard, and then salt, burn the body, and scatter the ashes. Can you say overkill?
Well, if you, and I love to watch, okay, I'm a weird person. I accept that and I wave my freak flag high, but I love to watch vampire movies and anything that discusses vampirism and stuff like that. And a lot of that you just said really sounds like some of the stuff on the movies and stuff that they do to kill vampires. And werewolves, because of the silver bullet, you know, for a werewolf.
Well, when you think about it, there's a lot of indicators with this particular creature that does involve both werewolf and vampire. The vampire eats human drinking of human blood, or in this case, eating of human flesh. And the werewolf, well, you know, they're just nefarious anyway. They're just out there running amok.
And, amok.
And he's out there running amok too. So, but you can, where, you know, it does. And also, the Wendigo is more bipedal. I mean, he stands upright on two as well. And there is, I've got a couple of situations here on like sightings of people have had sightings. Like one sighting is a couple driving down the street in their car. And this is not that long ago. But this
What's
is not
the date
long.
On it? Do you know the date of when they actually saw it?
Within the last 2 years. This one right here was within the last 2 years.
Oh, wow. So probably what, 2021 or 2020?
Something like that. Yeah. But it's been fairly recent.
Wow.
Down the street, and she saw what she thought was a dead deer on the side of the road. And as she was looking at it, it rose up on its back haunches
what?
And started and chasing the car.
Oh, hell no.
I ain't never seen that.
Nope. Feet don't fail me now. I'm out of here.
Nope. Chased the car.
Oh, Lord, no.
It was keeping up with the car. And then a big old ugly deer running after your car. Man, that's hard to go to. That's one of them there. But it was the Algonquins who has some of the dialect uses the same word for owl and Wendigo.
Now, I have heard that, yeah, that they equated that owl, the word owl, and the animal owl to be associated with Wendigo, yeah.
Yeah. The same word means both. I mean, this is something that is horrifying. This thing is true.
Yeah. To say the least.
Now, here is one. This, I think you're going to find really interesting. This is an Ojibwa teacher and scholar. He lives in Ontario, Canada. His name is Russell Johnson. So this is his teaching right here. It said a Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emancipation. Its skin pulled taut over its bones, with its bones pushing out against it. That's gross.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Its skin was a complexion of ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep inside their socket. The Wendigo was like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. And its lips were tattered and bloody. Its body unclean and suffering from the separation of the flesh. It was off a strange and very strong odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. That's want to invite into your house.
Right. Yep.
I mean, what he's describing here is something that is absolutely of your worst nightmare. I mean, I can't even.
I'm sitting here, my mind is just racing from what you just described, and I'm sitting here trying to envision what I feel, how would I feel, and what would I do if I were standing face to face with one of these things?
I wouldn't be standing for long. I would be out cold. Are you kidding?
Well, I would hope that I would be able to get away from it, but these knees and legs of mine, they're riddled with arthritis, you know, and rheumatoid arthritis on top of that, and I doubt I'd be able to get very far, so I don't know what I'd be able to do. I'd have to stand and fight, I guess, or try to do something to protect myself, because I don't think I'd be able to run very far.
Well, it's like they said, if somebody encounters a Wendigo, how do you survive a Wendigo attack? And the basic thing that's been said is you don't.
Anybody, so you don't survive it. It actually
attacks
and devours your body, as you said, because it lives off of cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they said anybody who has been attacked by a Wendigo has never been seen of again. There's no bones. There's nothing left. Absolutely nothing is left. Mm.
Well, baby, he would have an all-day buffet on me. There's enough of me to feed him for probably about a week.
I mean, I understand this whole conversation has been like, wow, where's the what? There is none. Here's the
it's really interesting. And I knew once we picked the cryptoids as a subject matter for us to, you know, talk to the listeners on the radio here, I knew it was going to be with each creature was going to be a wealth of information that we could find and pull up and be able to talk about. And, you know, just this 1 hour on the Wendigo tonight, it's probably not even scratching the surface, so to speak.
No.
A lot more as far as, old tales, for lack of being able to pull the word out of my head right now, but you know, just the folklore and the legends, there we go, legends and things like that of each creature that we're going to discuss in the months ahead. I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be awesome because we get to learn new things and facts about each one, but I'm sitting here tonight and I thought I knew what a Wendigo was, but when you got into telling everything that you had researched and found, I mean, it's like blowing my mind.
Yeah. It's like so much deeper than anything that even we were taught as children.
Oh, yeah. And you and I are Native American, and each of us have grown up with, you know, the beliefs of the family and the tribe and stuff that's been handed down from generation to generation. So, I mean, we're learning ourselves a lot tonight. I know I am.
I mean, this thing is just absolutely hideous. Now, I do have a recent sighting, June the 11th of 2021. And this that's how recent this is. 10:15 at night. This was a recent sighting by the person's name is Tanner. I'm expecting it's probably male. It doesn't say male or female, but this person is saying that they lived up on a mountain and they were sitting in the driveway with their uncle. And so they decided to get out, and the uncle had to do something. So they went ahead and got out of the car, and their dog took off. So they're like, oh, we'll just take the dog out for a walk. And the dog, he got away from him and ran up this embankment. So the kids, of course, you know, being kids, 10:15 at night, yeah, let's go up the embankment. Sounds good. Why not? So they run up the embankment. And when they got to the embankment, they looked to where the dog was going. And about 15 yards away is what looked like stomach guts in a tree hanging from the tree.
Nope.
And an almost skull face figure. It had a deer with antlers and had a deer head with antlers and solid black eyes. It was looking back at them. I saw for a second, turned back to look at my brother and wondering if he saw it. And he said, just by the look on his brother's face, it was like, yeah, he was seeing the same thing. And he said they both looked back at what they were looking at, and it was just gone. No, nothing. It was there. Boom. It was gone. Just like that.
No, thank you, ma'am. And hell to the no.
Exactly. And, right? He said, so, you know, they ran back to the uncle. Well, yes, I shouldn't have thought about that.
I'd have run further than to the uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been so far up in my house that you couldn't have pried me out with a crowbar.
Now, this one, it doesn't really give a date of when it happened, but apparently it's occurring like now. It occurs all the time.
Yeah. Because that's pretty recent, 2021. What'd you say, July or June?
June 11th.
Yeah, see, that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's not that far off, you know, away that happened. That's creepy.
Actually, that's when the story was told. But he was talking about when they saw him when he was younger.
Oh, when he was younger. Okay, my bad. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, but well, still.
Either way, still.
Exactly. Now, here's one that happens that she claims as of this day. This lady describes her encounters. She lives on a farm with her husband and her children. And she says that they always see these creatures. Why does she still live there?
I know. Why do you still live there? Why haven't you moved?
No. She says that she believes that she's even seen it inside the home as well as outside.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
If something's got ripped off from deer antler and face, I don't want that inside my house. That's not
okay. No.
That's not okay.
Uh-uh. That's anything but okay.
So we have this stinking, decaying thing that's inside my house. And so, well, the way I look at it is like, well, as long as it goes outside, it's okay. But that's not okay.
No.
I don't know. So, and she says that at night, it makes human as well as animal sounds. It mimics voices,
mm-hmm.
Animal sounds, and it's a terrifying, blood-curdling screams,
yep.
Of both and human.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. And she says that there's no explanation for it. The doors will open. And she says there's a garage door that nobody ever opens, but it opens the door.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
I don't know. I just think a decomposing creature with a deer head with the flesh dripping off of it screaming. In my
Mm-mm.
house?
Mm-mm.
Oh, hell no.
Hey, nope.
We gone. We ain't sticking around for that.
We more than gone.
We gone. That's here and I live here. And it's just, that's just the way it is. But that, the Wendigo. So what do you think of them apples?
You've taught me quite a bit tonight. I've enjoyed it, and I know I'm gonna have to do something to get my mind off of this before I go to sleep. Because if not, I'm gonna be dreaming crazy dreams tonight.
I'm telling you what, this is something.
Be dreaming of a Wendigo, girl. What's up with that? Make me dream of a Wendigo.
Well, I've never before, but I'm sure I will now. I've heard stories of the Wendigo, you know, both you and I have, but the more in depth I got into reading about it, it was like, oh, word.
Right? Well, good job there, sister. You did great. That was really, really interesting. I can't wait to move on to some more cryptoids where we can find out little things that we didn't know about each creature.
Yeah, there's a wealth of information out there. There really is. I mean, some things that you just never even thought.
Right.
You know, be near you. And it's like some of these things, it's like, how far away are they from you at any time?
Well, that just goes to show you just don't never know, you know, because strange things are all over this world. They happen. all the time. Sometimes things get reported, sometimes they don't. And I've said this before on one of our, or two or many of our other podcasts and our shows from Hotel to Funiac, that it's a big world out there, and we have many planets within the solar system. And if God is as infinite in his wisdom as I believe him to be, surely we are not the only creatures that are in existence. There has to be other life forms out there, other creatures that we've not come into an encounter with yet. And just causes you to keep your mind open, you know, to different things. So it's really interesting.
It is. And of course, it's going to be on one of our shows as well, Alien Encounters.
Yes, I can't wait to get to that one.
Yeah, I mean, that is an incredibly extensive studies that are going on with that. And of course, interdimensional, you know, meetings, you know, the blending. And also, the Wendigo also goes into that as well, now that we're on that subject. I did read about some of the teachings do actually go into the Wendigo actually existing in another dimension. Hmm. And the that we're seeing is the crossing of the dimension between the worlds, because they are on a different frequency. And wow, we hear that so much now. The everything has a vibration, everything has a frequency.
Oh, sure.
And this creature is on this different frequency in a different dimension, and it's breaking into our realm, our world, and that's when they're being seen. Hmm. And that moves so quick in and out. And remember, talk about them flying. That could be how they're getting about, because it's the coming in and out of that dimension. This is something right. You know, it's like, it's kind of weird even thinking about something like that existing. But when you talk about the locomotion of it and the speed of which they're traveling and the ability of how quickly they can go from one place to another, would that not be something to consider, you know?
Yeah, it would. See, what I'm saying is each cryptoid that we're going to be discussing, there's so many elements to it and different things that we didn't know and that we're all going to find out and share with the audience here, that it's just going to be, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really amazing.
I do too. I think it's going to be great.
Well, we've done our hour.
We have.
Yes, we have. So I want to thank everybody, and Debbie can say her piece before we do sign off the air. Thank everybody for following us and listening to us, and we appreciate it. And I can't thank you guys enough for your support and love. And I want to wish you guys a very, very happy new year. Wish many blessings to each of you that are listening out there in Radio Land. And Debbie, you got something to say?
Absolutely. I'm so happy that everybody has made it to 2023. And I hope that it's a great year for everybody out there. I really got high hope for 2023. I really do. I think it's going to be a better year for us. I think that we're going to be happier. I pray that everybody is happier, and I pray everybody has a very good year. And I just wish the best for everybody out there. And
I do too.
I'm so glad to have y'all here. And so glad to have everybody, you know, taking the time to tune in and listen to what we're doing. And we greatly appreciate every single one of you. And hopefully we can meet up and say hi, and that would be wonderful. So this is going to be signing off. This is Debbie.
And this is Sarah.
And we're wishing you all well, and we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.